Sefer Chassidim. I want to clarify one point. Someone mentioned this to me. I forgot to mention this yesterday. Is I think some when we were so we learned Sefer Chassidim, Sefer HaChassidim, some people thought that we were going to learn the Tzavois of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wrote a last will and testament. His last will and testament has how many?
Be the limit of
we'll see. We'll try it out. We'll see if it goes. We'll see how we started yesterday. Yes, we gave a long hakdama to Sefer Chassidim, and we all
the mic.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Michael.
Okay. Now we're in business. Okay. Yesterday we began with the hakdama. We just touched a little bit on the Sefer HaChassidim, what it is, but I did forget to mention that Sefer HaChassidim, I put the wrong volume. The word volume is the second volume. Doesn't matter. All right. I put the wrong volume. Okay, in addition to Sefer HaChassidim, there's something called the Tzavois, the last will and testament of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which is very interesting. Everyone probably is very familiar with. Probably the most famous thing is that a person should not marry a girl who has the same name as your mother. And a girl should not marry a boy who has the same name as her father. Now the question, what?
You had another name.
So the question is, that's only one. We mentioned that Mr. Glatter, how many,
I think there were around 70.
We were showing Mr. Glatter yesterday. In the beginning, right? I wrote the wrong volume. So there were about 70 different commands, 70 different instructions that he gave. What he wanted. The question is: was this as a gezeira, as a poisek for Klal Yisrael, or was this just meant for his family, or was this meant for different people? And some people accepted it, some did not accept it. These things that he mentions are not halacha. There is really no source for many of the things that he says, but he writes that it's understood that it's not a good idea to violate these principles for whatever reason. So this set of Sefer HaChassidim, I only have Sefer HaChassidim, but there are two more volumes to this set, and there's an entire volume devoted to the Tzavah. The 70 plus instructions that he gave his children, each one of those is analyzed and is discussed at great length with all of the modern tshuvos. Again, he died about 800 years ago. So since then, there's been quite a bit written and said about each one of the 70 plus instructions that he gave his children and family and how it's relevant for us. He was a Rebbe. I don't remember. Rokeach, or the Rokeach was one of his Talmidim, but I think really he was a Talmid. He died in the year 12. I had it all yesterday here. We had all the details I thought I mentioned yesterday. But he died in the 13th century. It seems like he lived a very long life. It seems like he was almost 100 years old when he died. And he was obviously a very holy person. His father was even holier. His father was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, he was called Rabbi Shmuel HaNavi. Now, you don't call a Rishon a Navi. The fact that he was known as Rabbi Shmuel HaNavi, obviously they held him to be a very holy person. His children were also very distinguished people. And he had a very great impact in Klal Yisrael. He lived in Germany. Germany at that time was the center of Yadus, in Mainz, and Magencia, which is called, we call it in English, it's pronounced Mainz. And he wrote the Shir Yichud, the Yisei on Yom Kippurim. He had a very, very powerful influence on Klal Yisrael. And the very big debate is what is written in the Tzavah, was it only meant for his family, or was it meant for more than just his family? So the question is, another example is you should never close a window. If you're doing construction, don't ever close up a window. And if you have to close the window, so people look for all of these kunts and what to do, they put a tube. Before they go and they put up the sheetrock, they put a tube. People take his words for some reason very seriously. Why is it like that? I do not know. When it comes to marriage, not to marry a girl that has the same name as your mother. So if a person is 18 years old and the boy is 19 years old, then people seem to take it seriously because the options are unlimited. Once a boy gets a little bit older, you're not going to find any pesach that's going to tell you not to do a shidduch because the boy and the girl, the names are a problem. Once you get past a certain age, get married and don't worry about the tzava or Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid.
It also says that one has an extra name.
An extra name, right? So all these funny stories. I didn't even know with my brother, when he got married, so his father-in-law has two names, and my brother has one name, and so how could they take my brother for a son-in-law when he has the same name as his prospective shver? So they said, from now on, the wife is going to call her husband by both names. No, by both names.
Oh.
So you call by both names, it's not the same. So I was in the house recently. She still calls him by his first name. She doesn't call him by both names. So obviously these things...
Wait, is that the one that's the same, or is it the other
one? The one that's the same. Okay, so obviously people are not samak, but they said this is only meant for his own family. One of the very moving stories in the biography of Rabbi Zlotowitz, we have over here Mark, Plotnik, a nephew of Rabbi Zlotowitz, is that everyone knows, it's very famous, that when Rabbi Zlotowitz, he married his second wife, her name was Rachel. What was her last name? I don't remember. So
Shulman.
And what was her first name? Fagi Rachel Shulman. So Rabbi Zlotowitz was married before. He had a girl whose name was Fagi. And he married a woman whose name was Fagi. So this woman, Fagi, said she was going to take responsibility for his children from the first marriage. And she said, there's a problem. I don't want that there should be a problem. So you know what? From now on, we'll only use my second name. And even though all of her friends knew her by the name Fagi, Mikanul Haba, she insisted she's only going to be known as Rachel. And that's an incredible thing. That's why should I change my name? You let the child change her name. What? And one name, but still in all, it's a very powerful sensitivity for a person to go so far to say, it's okay, I'll change my name. Ad Bekach. It's a very beautiful story. It's a very powerful thing. A lot of people, when they read the book, they're talking about it. Certainly, read the book. Everyone is talking. Tell me one story from the book. So I've heard already two people tell me that's what they liked about the book. They liked about the book that story. That she changed her name, and she didn't have to change her name. Okay, they could have figured out another solution, but she says, no, the child should not be uncomfortable. I will change my name. The stepmother said, I will change my name.
I happen to know the family.
Yeah.
Her father, we used to have him together. Special person.
It's a very special story. The whole book was worth it just for that. Besides, really, it's a great book. I mean, for me, it's nostalgic because my parents knew the Zlotowitzes over the years, even from RJJ. My mother always used to say that he made the invitation. My grandparents were not wealthy people at all. And when he was a Rebbe, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in RJJ. And Zlotowitz, Meir Zlotowitz, was a student at one point, because he left RJJ to learn an MTJ. But he was very close with my grandfather. And when my parents got engaged, he made the invitations. That was before he started Art Scroll. He was still then made invitations. And he made for my parents this spectacular, gorgeous invitation. And I look at the invitation. We have it at home, the invitation to my parents' wedding. And I say, like my grandfather could afford to make such an invitation. No way, never. And the answer is no, that's right, he couldn't. And he did this for free, as a gift to my grandfather. He was a student of my grandfather, and my mother says she remembers him coming to the house, bringing the invitations. My grandfather didn't even have to go down to a studio to get the invitations. He presented, he brought the invitation. It's a fancy invitation. It has even tissue paper. You don't see that anymore today. You have tissue paper, your invitation. You know, a high-class invitation. He was a very, very generous...
He only did high-class work.
Yeah?
At the time.
At the time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go further. Let's now, we are in the middle of learning Sefer Chasid. Let's try to cover a little ground for a few minutes. Okay, we're up to Halacha Beis. We're up to Simon Beis on page Nun Gimel. Nun Gimel, Simon Beis is still this. This one. This paragraph is also a paragraph of introduction. The Halachos begin paragraph Gimel. So we spent yesterday almost the whole day on the introduction, and now one more paragraph. Let's run through it. Amar Bal Zeh HaSefer. The one who wrote this Sefer, then we have to remember that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid did not write this Sefer. It could be that his father wrote the Sefer, and he just published it. It wasn't published in those days, it was handwritten manuscripts. Or it could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he actually was the one who taught these halachos, but the one that is putting the work together is an editor. And the editor, we do not know who this editor is, and that's why he's speaking at a distance. The Omar Baal Sefer, Baal Zeh Sefer, the person who is the one who taught all of the teachings of this Sefer would say, Asher Chibur Diri HaChassidus V'Anova V'Hayira, these three concepts, piety, humility, and fear of Hashem, Kol Echad B'Machperes Bo B'Noisi, each one of these concepts I studied in the various books, various works that were available. So the Mechaber of this Sefer, he is compiling things that he's seen elsewhere. There were works at the time of Chassidus. If I don't know if I have the right page, I don't think, because you have to look at page, Nun Gimel. Try to dig it out somewhere here, page Nun. Do you have Nun Gimel? Yeah, this one, good. So he compiled, I analyzed a Machberes. Rashi's first Sefer was called, Rashi's work was called a Machberes. When Rashi, you're right, I made a mistake, Kuntres, it's called a Kuntres. They used these words. So there were other works that were available in notebooks. There was no printing press. For hundreds of years, for at least another 300 years, I think, 200 years, 300 years, bomb. No, there was no printing press. So all of these things were put in manuscripts, but they were manuscripts of Chassidus, Anova, and Yira. And the author of the Sefer Chassidim says, I studied these works. Umikol melamdai hiskalti. Every single work that I've studied, I have learned something from. Okay, there's something to be said from, not just to, I'm going to write the most authoritative work because everything that I've written is nonsense. There are two different types of introduction. Sometimes you read an introduction where you get the flavor that the author is very arrogant and he says, I know I'm writing now a book on this topic and I know there are many other books on this topic, but I feel there's a need to write a book on this topic because everything else out there is garbage. You ever see such an introduction? I've seen. They don't say those words exactly, but there's a lot of nonsense out there, so I have to set the record straight. I am the world-renowned authority on this topic, and I'm going to tell you the way it is. And then very rarely do you find a person who has humility to say that, you know something, there's a lot of good stuff out there, and everyone, every book has what to offer, and I just want to give you my take on it. You know, we actually did this in a very eloquent way. They just published Art School, a beautiful book about the Chassam Sefer. We did this. We did the Art Sefer, Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer is your side. We spent the whole day on this. A review of the life of the Chassam Sefer, written by the same person who wrote the book on Zlatowitz, Yishol Besser, the same author. And he writes in the Hakdama that there is so much out there on the Chassam Sefer. And Imamish writes these words. Every last article, essay, book, I went through, and they're all delicious. And they all have what to offer. In fact, he points out this one book in particular that stands out, and everything is gewaldig. And what am I coming to offer? I don't know. But I'm coming to give you the art school version of the Chassam Sefer. So that's really what he's writing over here. He's writing exactly the same thing. We call Melamda Hiskalti. There's a lot of stuff out there on Chassidus, Anova, and Yira. It's all good. And everything has water. Even this is a shtickle mussar. How you begin a hakdama to a sefer. Not to knock. In the secular world, it's all about knocking. It's all about my work is the Bible. Is the Bible. And everything that came before me, they're all discredited. That's the nature. Over here, he's showing you that's not the right thing. The right way to go about it is to give kavod to your predecessors. Everything they have to say is wonderful, is excellent. And I've learned from them. Umi moirai kabalti. And from my teachers, I have accepted. I have learned Torah from my teachers. Ki roi l'chol yirei Hashem l'hoirois l'bneim ul'talmideim ul'chol yisrael ech yuchol ahasik la'asais ritzon yoytzreu. It is critical for every person to teach his students, his children, how to do the will of Hashem, to achieve and be successful in serving Hashem. Now he's coming to talk about what's the English word to give. The English word is to ascribe human characteristics.
Anthropomorphism.
The ability, the nature, the technique of ascribing human characteristics to the Ribbono Shel Olam in order that we can relate to him. It's a very delicate balance. Mitzarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Kaviyachal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond anything that we can relate to whatsoever. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he speaks to us in the same terminology as a human being, so that we can relate to him. But you have to remember, it's just a technique to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still beyond us. The Lokach L'Shoinoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken his language, Derech HaMashal, it's just a mashal, a metaphor, L'Hamshal Es Bareinu, to compare our Creator, l'midas basar adam kidei l'hachnis b'levavos bnei adam, in order it should penetrate the heart of man, l'shaber hoznayim, to break open the ears of man, v'lefkoyach einayim, to open up the eyes, oirois lights, ulahavin libois harelim, and to allow the heart of those who are uncircumcised, people who have hard hearts, to hear the words of Hashem. So he says over there, the ears, the eyes, and the heart. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to us as a human being in order to open up our eyes, to open up our ears, and to open up our hearts, to connect to him in these three ways. V'davar zek sibetoyra v'koyloi v'kol mayim rabim. Hashem's voice is like the voice of water. Hashem is not water. Hashem is beyond our understanding. Hashem ke'arye yishok. Hashem calls out like a lion. Hashem is not a lion. The gamare es demusa libriyosav enav kiyonim. Hashem's eyes are like yoinim, like doves. Uludugmas harbe. There are many other examples. Another one is shaykov. Hashem's legs are amude shesh. What's the purpose of all of these things? Kolzel l'shaber ho'ezim. All of these things is in order for a human being able to connect, to enable him to bend his ear. In fact, I don't have it over here. I wanted actually to read to you. That's
what imagine.
In the Sefer Hasidim that I used to prepare, so they have a very nice collection of mefarshim. And there's a very long entry on exactly what it means, l'shaber ho'ezim. He provides like five different interpretations of what this concept means. L'shaber literally means to break. What does it mean to break your ear? What kind of concept is that? So he explains what it means, and most of his interpretations show us that there are many girsois. Some tell you to translate not l'shaber with a shin, but with a sin, l'saber. Some have a samach, l'saver, svira, sovar. If you change the shin to a samach, then it's sovar. Sovar comes from the word svora, a thought, logic. The ear discerns. The ear listens to logic. So that's a different girsa. L'shara means to break. It's a very hard translation. If you want to translate with the vowelization, it's not with the shin, but with the sin, l'saber, then it has a different meaning. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what he says, but basically, in this paragraph, he's coming over here to tell us is that the Sefer that I'm about to present to you, you should know, is a compilation. It's not original. I'm bringing together things that I've seen in other works, other books. I'm not plagiarizing. This has come from elsewhere. And that itself, you should know, is a very interesting topic of halacha, of how far a person has to go to attribute what he says to someone else. Today, it's become criminal. Today, what? Oimer davar b'shem oimroi mevi geula le'olam. Question. Does that mean, is that a halacha? Or is that just a nice thing to do, but it's not absolutely necessary? If you want to go and pass off a chiddush from someone else as your own, or you'll say someone else said this, but I'm not telling you who said it, Are you doing something that's unethical? Are you doing something that is criminal? What are the parameters? It's a very big topic. That's why this is a very good thing to do, because everything over here touches upon a matter of halacha. Now let me lay out some of these sayings. First of all, one thing is clear as day. There's a very big difference in the standards between Torah and intellectual knowledge that is outside the realm of Torah. If an Orthodox Jew to take an idea, a concept, let's say in science, in physics, in mathematics, engineering, and would pass it off as his own, or would not attribute a source, that is borders, if not outright, geneva, outright theft. Geneva, gezela, all of those bad words, the mabul can be caused, ki mal haaretz chomos mit nehem. It's not your idea. Geneva is not just property, something that is real, something that you can touch. Geneva, beyond the shadow of a doubt, intellectual knowledge, a person has a svara, an invention, an idea, which is a value. It is categorically forbidden for a fellow Jew to take that and to pass it off as his own, or even, this is the question, it's not my own, but not to give attribution where it came from. However, what happens if a person is mechadesh chidushei Torah, and you read a beautiful chidush from someone else, and you want to pass it off as your own? So, I don't know the details, and it's not clear. There are different opinions, but it's not as bad. Maybe a shock to many people to hear such a thing, because Torah is free. Ma ani bechinam af ata bechinam. We have halacha. Yeah.
They tell over from the Chassam Sofer. He used to say, I don't mind if they say my Torah in their own name.
But don't say your Torah in my name.
Your Torah in my name.
So this is an issue. Torah is free. No one has a chazakah on Torah. If you were zoicha to be mechadesh, to bring down into this world a new insight in Torah, a new understanding of a piece of Gemara, a new understanding of a pasuk in Chumash, and then someone comes along and says it over and does not attribute it to you, you cannot say he's a ganav. With secular knowledge, intellectual knowledge, then you're a ganav. But in the world of Torah, you cannot say, because Torah has a different set of rules. Torah was given me Sinai. It was given by Hashem. Hashem uses people to be the channel, the conduit, to bring down his Torah to his world. And even if a person is a mechadesh, he says over a novel insight, it's only through siyata d'shma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that thought into his mind, and it becomes the public domain. Now, that is an extreme thing to say.
What happens if it's printed?
What?
What happens if someone thinks of a Torah
yeah,
and prints it?
So then there's an issue of money. If by you saying over, if you're going to print the Sefer, all the Chidushim, and that person will lose money, then it can become an issue of Gnev or Gzela. But if it's not an issue of money, just a matter of Kavod, who's the one that said this Vart? Who's the one that was Mechadish this Vart? Again, you have to remember, there's a balance. It does say in Chazal, Ha'oimer davar b'shem oimroi, nevi geula lo'olam. But it doesn't mean that it's a requirement. It's a midas chasidus. It's a nice thing to do. It should be done in certain conditions. but does not necessarily mean that it's an absolute requirement, like it is a requirement when it comes to other intellectual rights in regard to matters that are outside the world of halacha.
What was the purpose of Esther to say the Hashverosh Moshem Mordechai?
That's the makar. That's the source. But it's,
what about his big
son Yisrael? The whole miracle came about because that they sent over to Achashverosh in the name of Mordechai. Mordechai got credit; he deserved reward, and the whole story unfolded. Okay, but that's the source. But again, it's not necessarily a halacha. And here he's not attributing; he's not over here telling you, and he's going to mention all of the things over here in this sefer. He's giving you a general introduction in the beginning of the sefer that what I'm telling you over here now is not necessarily mine. I have looked in the machberes, in different notebooks that were compiled by my predecessors of Hasidus, of Yira Anova, and I spent time delving into them, and I'm going to extract from what I've learned. I'm going to present it to you. I'm not going to tell you who said it. And therefore, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't always have to give attribution, especially here. I'm giving general attribution. And in fact, it's very interesting that in a lot of the very popular works that we have today, people did not give attribution. The Torah Tamima, the famous Torah Tamima, a lot of his stuff was written by other people, word for word, and he did not give attribution. And people today, modern scholars today, they are very critical of the Torah Tamima. How could he write a Torah Tamima and just pass it off as his own when it was written by other people? The Mishnah Berurah, there's a whole chunk of Mishnah Berurah that's taken straight out of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Mila b'mila, mamash, a whole page. Mila b'mila, and nowhere did the Chofetz Chaim write that these are the words of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. It doesn't say this. What?
It's so strange.
It's so, exactly. So to us, it is like super duper bizarre. It was plagiarism. What in the world is going on over here? The Chofetz Chaim is not going to attribute
the
Chofetz Chaim. And again, you have this in many svarim. And the Torah Tamima also was even Mukadir. It's a whole, almost whole sefer is like that. So what is going on? And the answer, you don't understand. This in the modern secular world, it's a crime. It's a crime. But it's not. When I went to college, I was a freshman. It was one of the first semester. We had to write a paper, and I don't know. Being small. And I did a paper. It was a long paper, and it was one sentence. I copied mila b'mila from the textbook, from wherever we had to read, whatever this was. And the professor, he went and he circled it, and he called me over and he says, "You did not write this sentence. There is no way you could write this sentence. You stole this sentence. It's plagiarism." And I was like, what is that? I was so shaken up. Like, what? What are you accusing me of? And he said to me, You're not allowed to do that. Even one sentence. You can't go, if you're writing a paper, you're writing something, you don't go and take a quote, even one sentence from a book. Because that's illegal.
You say you wrote
with citation
the book.
Without citation. It was my paper. It was one sentence where I felt to say what I wanted to say. I didn't know, so I copied the whole sentence. One sentence. And he picked up, it's too sophisticated for me to write such a sentence. And he says, "It's not your style. You did not write this. This is plagiarism, blah, 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 blah." And he really gave me, he really scared me. I really terrified me. I was so scared. And it always sticks in my mind. I mean, how's that? Yeah.
But in that paper,
right, that's what I should have done. That's what he was trying to tell me. There's a famous joke. I was supposed to say this a lot of work. If you steal from one person, that's called plagiarism. If you steal intellectual knowledge from many people, that's called research. Well, Zlatowicz, he liked that. It's not his line, but Zlatowicz used to tell that to people all the time, because art scroll was basically research. The whole art, every footnote is research.
No,
what?
There's a famous story talking about some cipher.
Yeah.
That he had a kasha and he couldn't find the tariffs, and 3 days he worked on it.
Yeah.
And then the following day he was
in the book.
To one of the Shvachar students. is the kasha, and on the spot answered the teretz.
He heard from the Chasam Sof himself.
No, he said what happens is once this Torah comes on
he has a spiritual,
earth,
that's a spiritual approach.
He says, once it comes on this earth, it comes okay. to everybody.
That's an idea. That's an interesting idea. That's a very spiritual, a spiritual. Not everyone can handle that idea.
A lot okay. of times you can be afraid to quote this because you might be saying it wrong.
So then you have to say that my what I'm quoting you is my interpretation. It may not be correct, and I accept responsibility for presenting in this way. You have a disclaimer. Have this happen. But at least let us. This I think is a very important insight just to get out. This the halacha base is to be aware. It's something that's very important to be aware of because you're going to see this. You see this often. Is that in today's day and age? There's this copyscape. You know, today all students you don't submit anything to a professor today handwritten. Everything is typed. It's unheard of today. Even in my day, everything has to be typed up, and you even just email it to the professor. Email it. And today there's something called copyscape and a million other different. And without even doing anything, it is automatically checked for plagiarism. The technology is so advanced, it can tell you in a second if what you have here written in front of you has there are similarities, there are patterns. Every time the president or the first lady gives a speech, so what happens? Instantly, it's checked. For plagiarism. She got into a lot of trouble. Melania, she one of her first
Obama's
speeches.
Wife.
So they Michelle,
but that they didn't talk about too much.
They right away said, your speech, this sentence is exactly what Michelle said. Yeah. So it's plagiarism. So she didn't write the speech. It was the speech writer. So today you can't get away with it. It's not possible to get away with it. So today it's a mamash, a crime to do something like this. But you have to understand that in the world of Torah, it's not a crime. In the world of Torah, at least we walk away with this appreciation, Torah is bechinam. Torah comes from Hashem. A human being is a conduit of Hashem to bring down Torah into this world. The standards of stealing someone's chiddush are different than the standards of stealing someone else's intellectual knowledge, intellectual property. It's not the right thing to do. And today, there is a higher standard. There definitely today, because of the secular world, it's so tough in these matters, that trickle down to the Jewish world, we're also very tough today. Very tough. But in halacha, the world of halacha, it's not like that. And when you look at old works of Torah, the Torah Tanima, the Mishneh Berurah, and you'll be shocked to hear all different types of svarim, it wasn't so far-fetched for one mechaber to take a work that preceded him and to take chunks of his material and to copy and paste without giving attribution. Today, it's like shocking. But you have to understand, in halacha, it's not like that. And you're going back a different generation where the secular world did not have such a powerful influence upon us. And that's why we find this difference. And here's a very nice starting point from 800 years ago from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who's telling you straight out, my book is plagiarism. And you should be aware of it. I already was mistakel, and everyone has what to offer. I'm compiling together and putting all these things together. Yeah.
So that's like a disclaimer.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I think that citations allow your reader to check your
check the sources. Work. Check the sources.
Check, thereby check your work.
Okay.
And that's the way I did it.
He once had a sefer. I was in a shir for Tkufa, and he was for his Mitzvah Shabbos shir. He once asked me about certain Ma'amar Kodemos, where I can find this. I have a sefer at home that has exactly this. So he said, okay, very good. I really need it. I'm going to call you later. He called me later in the evening, and I read from Mila by Mila all of the Ma'amar Kodemos, everything. And then the next day, he said, he looked up every single one of the Ma'amar Kodemos, and he says they were so far off. Some places, they didn't even say it all together. In some places, what it said, it meant something entirely different. And he basically showed me that the sefer that I have, that I was recommending, the guy just made up everything himself, and he found these sources, and he just fudged them. that these are the sources for these ideas, and really they were his own ideas. They were his own ideas, and he's trying to get away with it, pass it off.
Excuse me, you say that Torah is a bechinah. Why yeshivot? Someone cannot pay tuition.
They throw him out.
Yeah, and he's going to public school, and they don't. Even in the ancient time, Shemayov after
Yom. Good question.
Shemayov after Yom, they couldn't pay, and they were going on the roof of the Beit Midrash,
and they looked,
and went hearing. And what came is slow,
that
and
is
covered.
That is a sheer that will take so long. It's a different topic of discussion. Let us now take a short break, and then we will learn about this week's parasha.